The next matter is Lloyd versus Allstate. Counsel?
If it pleases the court, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Proceed.
This is an appeal from a summary judgment granted to Allstate against Mr. Lloyd, the insured, for loss of a car. There was a car wreck. Subsequently, Mr. Lloyd reported his car loss to Allstate. Allstate then began an adjustment process. They sent out a field tech to adjust the loss, and the field tech evaluated the loss at $8,000 or more. Subsequently, Allstate brought it in. When it gets to the office evaluator, the evaluator initially evaluates at $5,100, and a dispute begins from there. The evaluation for $5,100 is, according to Allstate, was a deduction for high mileage on the vehicle. Mr. Grams was the adjuster for the loss, and he looked at the loss, and he said he came up with $5,100 because of high mileage, but did not take into account the condition of the car. He said they left that up to the field tech, but yet greatly reduced the amount. The court, the defendant moved for summary judgment, and the court granted summary judgment after hearing, despite a timely response. Some of the issues in this case is what duty is owed. We claimed on good faith and CPA violations, and have pointed out to the court that the insurance company has a good faith duty to act in a fair and reasonable manner to the insured under the case law. The main issue here is there any evidence that we have that would make this case go to a jury? Under the standard of review, there has to be some evidence. And some of the things that the insurance company Allstate has pointed out is that there was no expert testimony in support of our position of the summary judgment motion. And to some degree, that is correct, except that we relied heavily on the evaluations that Allstate had made, which had constantly pushed the value of the vehicle of or around $8,000. And at one point, Allstate evaluated the vehicle at $7,000, but didn't tell the loss at $7,100, but didn't tell Mr. Lloyd that they had evaluated it at that. Instead, what Allstate did was they offered him $6,600, at which point he said, well, I'm going to hire an attorney. He did hire an attorney a few days later, and once they got notice, they still didn't offer or tell him that they had evaluated the loss at $7,100. Allstate, the insured invokes the appraisal process at that point, and in the appraisal process, the evaluator hired by Allstate determined the loss to be above $6,000 and had comparable sales again above $8,000. So again, you've got an evaluation higher than the initial offer, coming close to what they had finally evaluated it at. And then they go to the appraisal, and the appraiser for Allstate and the appraiser hired by the insured agreed as the amount of the award, and the amount of the award was $6,600 plus tax, title, and license and fees, bringing it up to roughly around $7,100, the value that Allstate had evaluated it at. The case law is clear in the state, in the case of Bainter that's cited in our appeal, indicates that if Allstate goes up on the award process and they say, you pay this amount, you're stuck with the award. That's law in this state. And if the award grants things that aren't supposed to be in there, or if the award process is questionable, in the case of Bainter, the insured challenged it because they claimed that that there was collusion between the insurance company's adjuster and the third-party arbitrator or appraiser. And the court said, no, you're stuck with it. And in this case, what Allstate did after that is, after the appraisal clause is invoked and the appraisal has gone through, they deducted $500, saying that that was the deduction. That had been fine if the appraisers had said that we find that the actual cash value is X, but they didn't say that they found that the actual cash value is this amount. They said the insured is to be awarded $6,600 plus license fees and so forth.
But isn't the appraiser's value to determine the value of the loss, not the implications of the contract?
I would say yes, but the case law in this case, in this state, has come out clear that whatever the appraisal process awards, you're stuck with. Now, if they had made a finding...
That's the Bainter case that you're...
Yes.
Does it specifically track these facts where you have a contract provision on a deductible and say they must recognize the deductible or it's waived? Or their failure to recognize the deductible and awarding a claim waives it for the insurance company?
It didn't specifically go to that, but what it says is if there was a portion of the loss deal which has been cited in our brief that could determine actual cash value. They skipped that and didn't say this is actual cash value. They said this is an award.
Going back to your first point, I take it sounds like it's your position that when an insurance company gets an appraisal that, in this case, I guess it was $7,100, that they can't offer less than that and be in good faith. Is that your position?
In many instances, yes. And I would say in this instance, yes, because we're dealing with a property loss, and there are certain standards that you go through and evaluate in a car. One of those is comparable sales. And all the comparable sales that they could find were over $8,000. And so the actual cash value of the vehicle was way more than the $5,100 that they initially offered. You know, one of the key things to this...
Well, I'm trying to figure out... Okay, that's right. We'll pick it up on rebuttal.
Counsel.
Jason Vaca here for respondents, Allstate and Deerbrook Insurance Company. As Mr. Brooks indicated, this case arises out of a dispute over the value of a 2005 Chevrolet Malibu with approximately 114,000 miles on it at the time of the loss. Due to time constraints, I plan to focus primarily on the good faith argument and the issue with regard to the deductible, unless the court has issues on other parts of the case. I'm happy to address those. With regard to the argument about good faith, appellant raises two issues in his briefing. Claims the respondents breached their duty of good faith when they offered $5,105 on September 9th of 2008. And he claims that respondents breached their duty of good faith when they failed to offer the high end of a range, that was the $7,100 and change offer. Keep in mind, in the context of negotiations in Washington, both the insurer and the insured owe a reciprocal duty of good faith. That's RCW 48010030. Mr. Lloyd never gave any indication in this case that he would accept less than $9,000 for the vehicle.
How does that go to whether it's good faith to drop an offer or an evaluation from $7,100 to $5,500? It's worth $7,100. He said, I think it's worth $9. You go $55. That's good faith. I mean, if your evidence is that it was worth $71 at that time.
Well, they didn't have that evidence. The sequence is off there. The initial report ran by Steve Graham, an employee of Allstate, with AutoSource, which is a third-party vendor that Allstate and other entities use to evaluate a vehicle. initially, it, I guess the default setting, it looks at private party sales, and it came back at 5105. That report's in the record. Respondent actually submitted it at the trial court level, and he offered the full amount of that report. There's no dispute that he lowered the value of the vehicle. There's no argument that AutoSource is unreliable or that AutoSource is there's no expert declaration saying you can't look at private party sales here. There's just no evidence to attack the report. And Mr. Graham offered 100% of the report value. The question is, with regard to that offer, is was it reasonable to rely upon it? And again, there's just no evidence to the contrary. Appellant tries to create an issue by looking at the Field Tech report, which didn't factor in the mileage. That came out at $8,500. But the vehicle that that report refers to was not at issue in this case. Mr. Lloyd's vehicle, which is, you know, about a 3.5-4-year-old car at the time of the loss, had nearly 114,000 miles on it. Comparing the two reports tells us that greatly increased mileage results in a lower value for the vehicle. That's all it does. So again, the initial AutoSource evaluation report that resulted in $8,500, that's a valuation of a car that's not at issue in this case. It's a complete red herring.
So the Field Tech didn't know the mileage, or didn't
put it in into the report. And Steve Graham, and that report never went to Mr. Lloyd. I mean, that it went to Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham took a look at it and said, "Oh, the guy didn't put the mileage in." Adds the mileage into the report, and then you come out at 5105. That's the accurate report.
So you're saying that what Graham had in front of him as far as an actual value with mileage taken into account was the report of 5105, and that then what he offered the first time he made an offer was 5102?
I believe he offered the full 5105.
5105, okay, more or less the same. Okay, so that then what happened? Then we've got some other stuff. We've got a revised report. And then we get the base value quotes from local car dealers.
Right. Mr. Lloyd rejected the 5105 offer on September
9th. So we have a range, I guess.
So on September 11, Mr. Yeah. Graham decided to still use an AutoSource, but he decided to calculate it a different way. So, well, maybe instead of looking at private party sales, we'll look at dealerships and franchises and see if we can get him some more money that way. He found two vehicles in the area that were comparable. One of those was... was selling for $6,654.63. The other one was $7,115.75. So that's the range. I mean, you only found two that were in the ballpark.
So do you perceive that the argument here is that it was bad faith for Allstate to pick the lower of those two as a comparable? Is that what's being argued?
I think that's being argued. And the irony, of course, here is that Mr. Graham offers the low one. Mr. Lloyd rather emphatically rejects it and says, you know, you'll be hearing from my attorney, and hangs up the phone. So with regard to that second value, 71.1575, there's no duty for Allstate to offer that figure. They made two reasonable offers, and they were willing to continue negotiating. It was Mr. Lloyd who ended negotiations. Mr. Graham, in fact, testified that while he didn't think it was worth $71,1575, he would have offered that just to get it done had Mr. Lloyd not hung up on him and not indicated he wanted to go through an attorney. That kind of ties Mr. Graham's hands at that point. So they had no duty to make that offer. They had no opportunity to make the offer, thanks to Mr. Lloyd's hanging up the phone and threatening the attorney action. And then there's just simply no evidence that it was unreasonable for Allstate to decline to offer that high end of the range. I haven't seen any law or expert opinion to the contrary in this case.
Wasn't there an indication from the text report that the car was in better than usual condition since he'd pegged the value that high? And certainly Mr. Lloyd was asserting that. So
sure, and I believe that is in the report, and that was part of the valuation that came out at 5105. You know, I don't think there. I think there was a deduction for mileage. I don't think there was any kind of a deduction for wear and tear or anything like that.
So. Well, I was suggesting a failure to reflect a higher value because it was in better condition than a typical car with the high mileage.
I've seen no indication that the condition of the vehicle would lead to a higher value than what Allstate offered. There's simply no evidence that that's the case. certainly nothing that I've seen. And again, what's common to both of appellant's arguments with these two offers is that they're relying wholly and totally on a comparison of the numbers. There's nothing else. There's no expert declaration. There's no completing reports. They're relying on Allstate's claim file to make the case. Under Keller versus Allstate, we know that the WACs, 284.30, 330, carry an implied standard of reasonableness. So Miller is showing that the number is less than what he got at appraisal is not enough. The other issue with regard to the deductible, appellant seems to have abandoned his breach of contract claim on appeal and now is arguing that it's a Consumer Protection Act violation that Allstate failed to abide by the award. CP 149 is the policy page that's relevant, and that under the limits of liability section of the policy required the respondents to pay the actual cash value of the property at the time of loss. After the language describing the limits of liability, there's three enumerated paragraphs, and then the policy expressly provides any applicable deductible is then subtracted. Again, CP 149. Further on the same page is the appraisal clause, which is the policy provision for the entire process. And that clause states, each appraiser will state the actual cash value and the amount of the loss. So we know what the number is that, that the appraisers were stating from the policy language. That's what they were asked to do. interestingly, Steve Graham did the math as far as the calculations that were done of the award at page CP 170. You add the award to the license fee taxes. He made a deduction for the deductible, and at that time he made a deduction for the salvage value, which was $545.38.
What about this Bainter case that he mentioned? Is there, are you familiar with that case?
I am. I don't think that's on point, Your Honor. I think Bainter stands for the proposition that the appraiser award is determinative as to the ACV of the vehicle. I think it would be improper for Allstate to come in and argue, well, the ACV is really some different number under Bainter, but I don't believe that it changes a finding of an ACV into a finding of an ACV less a deductible. Further, this issue is really resolved, and I'm running out of time, but if you look at, compare CP 168 and CP 172, the first is a letter from plaintiff's counsel to Allstate, prior counsel, indicating that her expert told her that the deductible was factored in. And at CP 172, we find out from her expert that that's simply not the case.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, we have 3 minutes on rebuttal.
There's been a lot. I knew counsel was going to point this out to you, and we briefed this, but there's been a lot pointed out that, that there was no expert testimony. The question is, Allstate has a duty to investigate the case. That's clear. Nobody's disputing that. That's clearly the law in the state. And Allstate investigated the loss. And our response relied upon what their investigation was. And their investigation shows comparable sales, $8,000. Their investigation shows that a field tech went out. And he put his mileage down on his field tech report. And after he did the examination of the car and noted that it was in good condition, that the field tech's report says $8,500. And it gets in the hand of Graham at Allstate, and Graham offers $5,100 after doing some other adjustments with the...
Well, are you actually arguing? I mean, does your position rest on the contention that the fact that it was high mileage is of no account? Is that what you're saying? That you're stuck with whatever the field tech says, even if they don't consider?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that they have a duty to investigate the case. And the field tech, in Graham's deposition, he said he didn't take into account the condition of the car. He just deducted for high mileage. when he did his adjustment to $5,100. The field tech noted all the good condition of the car, frequent oil changes and stuff like that. And so what I'm saying is that there shows that they're not acting in good faith, or it's some evidence of it. I may have a bad case, but I have some evidence that I believe a jury or a trier of fact is entitled to hear. And in this case, when you get the field tech that says 8,500, and all the subsequent stuff after that is saying 8,000 or in comparable sales, it seems like quite a high deduction to get it all the way down to 5,100. And then you make that offer. You breach the trust with the insured. You know, this is a property loss, and they ought to come up and look with a proper evaluation to reasonably compensate the insured and say, here's what it is. And it shouldn't fluctuate from $5,100 up to $7,100 or $8,000 like it has. And that's all comes from their reports. And if we're saying that we don't have any evidence of it, that means that there's no evidence that they have that they properly investigated the file or investigated the loss in their production. That's their job, is to investigate the loss and say, well, here's what it's worth. And we've submitted that.
Are you taking the position they get one shot at it and they have to get it absolutely right the first time?
No, that's not the law. They have to have a reasonable basis. But when they come up with one evaluation, then come down and start to creep back up to that, it shows that way down one was not a fair and reasonable offer, and that the subsequent actions there can give rise to bad faith.
All right. Thank you, guys.